From Michigan Radio, this is Lester Graham. This year marks the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War, but the end of slavery in the United States wasn't official until the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified in December of 1865. The end of slavery also meant the end of the Underground Railroad. Detroit was one of the last stops before freedom for thousands of former slaves.
We are stolen souls from Africa, transported to America.
Abolitionists used song and speeches to try to stop slavery in the U.S., but some also took action, smuggling runaway slaves out of the country. Some of the nation's leading abolitionists came to Detroit to debate their different approaches, including a famous meeting between Frederick Douglass and John Brown.
They met at the house of a third abolitionist, an African-American in Detroit named William Webb.
Ken Coleman is an author and historian.
So there is a history of Detroit proper being a sort of station, if you will, in the Underground Railroad.
Some historians say the fiery John Brown, who wanted to arm African-Americans to begin an insurrection, didn't come to Detroit alone. It's said he brought a wagon load of escaped slaves to a church, a last stop before freedom.
At Second Baptist Church, the state's oldest African-American church, there is a section of their tour where they actually show you where African-American slaves would hide until they were able to make the journey to Canada.
Okay, now we're going to enter the original sanctuary.
Bobby Folks Davis is a church historian and tour guide at the Second Baptist Church of Detroit.
John Brown brought a wagon load through here because he was with the fellows that were going to meet at the Webb House.
Brown and Frederick Douglass did not agree on the use of violence. Just a short time later, Brown raided a federal armory to distribute weapons to slaves. He was captured and later executed. The congregation of the Second Baptist Church kept smuggling slaves out of the country. As we went into the basement of the church, Folks Davis explained the term Underground Railroad was code. Terms from the railroad described the system of escape.
A station is any place of hiding. This church was a station. The station master is anyone who has enough authority to let you hide. A conductor is the person who's going to lead the train. On the Underground Railroad, you are the train.
Folks Davis says the church elders felt it was their obligation not only to teach the gospel, but to teach African Americans to read, which was illegal in most of the nation, and to be part of the Underground Railroad.
To hide them, shelter them, and point them the way to freedom.
One of the prominent African Americans in Detroit at the time was George DeBaptiste. He bought a steamship which ferried people across the Detroit River, but it also smuggled many escaped slaves to Canada. While Michigan law was not always friendly to African Americans, there was an active abolitionist movement throughout the region. Ken Coleman says Detroit was a natural last stop.
It was where, you know, black people were. It's where more progressive thought was. And I think the proximity to freedom, being the width of the river, probably had a lot to do with that.
It's estimated that the Second Baptist Church of Detroit alone helped as many as 5,000 people cross the river to freedom. Only a handful of historical markers note Detroit's role in the Underground Railroad, but there is one significant sculpture. On the riverfront at Hart Plaza in downtown Detroit, you can find a large portrayal of George DeBaptiste pointing the way to freedom for a group of escaped slaves. I'm Lester Graham, Michigan Radio News. Support for arts and culture reporting on Michigan Radio comes in part from a grant by the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.